Guard Your Grill Boxing. Like we said, we're back. Coltrane.
Yeah.
Berto Flack, man. So, you know, we joked about how, you know, this Crawford-Spence fight is really taking over all of us in boxing. And, you know, the fortunate thing is there's more, there's still a lot of boxing ahead of us. So we had to kind
Absolutely.
Of... we're going to speak a little bit about, you know, at least Terrence Crawford in this sense, but we got to move on, you know, and we got a whole weekend of boxing.
We do got to move on, but there's a lot of...
I know. You.
There's some breadcrumbs that Crawford, that leads to him, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, man.
Some stuff that's happening right now in boxing. But yeah, no, you, but in a grand scheme of things, yes. Yeah, there's more things to take place. Absolutely.
Yeah, man. So we got a week in the boxing. We got a really good fight on ESPN.
You know, we do.
We always talk about the Mexico versus Mexico rivalries, man. Some of the, I mean, one of the trilogies that we were able to see, Barrera and Morales. We're going to see one this weekend, man. Emmanuel Navarrete defending his WBO belt, 130-pound belt. Former champion Oscar Valdez.
Super fellow. It's funny because I remember at one time Emmanuel Navarrete was in this. They were talking about him fighting Shakur. Remember?
Yeah. I
think after the Valdez fight. Yeah, but they was probably never going.
Yeah, that would have been good.
I think stylistically, you know, those fights was just bad matchups for Shakur. You know. So him moving up and on was the. You know, although he's having trouble having fights, we'll touch on that a little bit too. Although he's having some trouble finding some fights at 135.
That's true.
But yeah, that fight is happening Saturday. I said it's like a Western. It's in Glendale, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I made a clinic. Shout out to my Western fans out there. I said this is like a modern day Western, you know, two gunslingers. Right in the middle of the ring. I think, like, you brought up a good point last week. You said sometimes these type of fights will upstage these big fights, you know, that we saw. Because to be fair, we didn't really get what we were supposed to get last 2 weeks ago.
I know what you're talking about.
Don't get me wrong. It was two masterful performances by two really good fighters, great fighters, rather. So, you know, I don't want to lose that, but... And, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you know, we didn't get the fights that we were anticipating collectively. So I think Saturday night that we're going to get that, though.
Yeah, I think so. I think this is it has the recipe for a war down the stretch. You know, Oscar Valdez is, you know, he's an experienced guy here. You know, he's seen Shakur. You know what I'm saying? He's he had that big knockout over Miguel Burchell. You know, where made the ESPN highlights. And then Navarrete, you know, what's crazy with him is as big and lanky as he is, he started as a flyweight, you know, which is crazy, right? Like, I'm looking forward to that, though. That's on ESPN. We got the Showtime card.
Yes.
The triple header on there. Before we got on, man, Gary Antoine Russell.
The biggest name on a card, ideally, like in the boxing community, you would probably say from a namesake wise, you know what I'm saying? Like, strange career.
Right, man. And he's one of these guys that I feel is in a situation where, you know, again, in today's world of boxing, where it really is where you are and the fights you may get depending where you're at. And he's not in contention for a world title yet, but when you look at the PBC and Showtime, like, what's their 140-pound division looking like, you know? So he's in a tough spot, man, but he's one of the 140-pounders that, you know, we have our eye on. He comes from, the Russell family, you know? So it's kind of...
talk about him moving up to welterweight, you know, I don't know. It's...
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know if that's the move. You know, I think he's fighting Kent Cruz, who I've never seen fight before. So
I think that in the next year, you're going to see a lot of guys. Once it's official that Bud has moved on and relinquished those belts, because we believe that he will.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see more guys kind of moving up for those vacant titles, taking a shot at it, you know? So I think that, you know, traditionally that's kind of how it's been, you know? You know, why would you stay at one? I just wonder sometimes who's managing some of these fighters, you know? Like, if I'm managing fighters, the first thing I'm going to look at is the landscape of every division, and is it worth our while to be here, you know? And I know that, you know, 140 traditionally, since you and I grew up watching boxing, has always been sort of like a stepping stone to get to 147, you know? You know, not too. We had some guys, you know, guys like Kendall Holt, the Sean B. Mitchells of the world, the Chop Chop type guys that kind of camped out there for a good period of time. But for the most part, it's always been a stepping stone division. And to your point about the PBC roster, they don't really have a lot of 140-pound fighters. So
they don't.
I'm just like, you managing a fighter, you know, and I granted, it's weight class for a reason, but I'm like, why, you know, you wasting years and time in these guys' careers? Like, it has to be a plan in place for this.
I agree. And, you know,
and then, you know, you look at a guy like Booch, who don't, you know, looking for opponents. You know, that, like, I'm building a guy. I'm like, well, you know, we fought Booch in an amateur. You know, maybe that's a fight we could potentially look at down the line. I'm talking about from the Gary. Now, not now, you Booch, you know, you looking at that fight like, you know, but now I'm just trying to create storylines and put fights together. That's normally the way it goes, you know. We in a tricky, I hate keep coming back to Crawford, but we in a tricky situation right now because, you know, we're closing the division out. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know,
it's you're closing one division. Two divisions too, at lightweight.
Right.
And at welterweight.
Yeah. Lightweight, welterweight. It's a weird, it's funny. I'm gonna touch on lightweight for a second because I put a post up and everybody was like, oh, you know, you got to wait. But you and I, you know, we see a lot of, look, I'm not trying to, you know, toot our horn or pat ourselves on the back. But the one thing I think that collective you and I, we share is that we're able to like kind of like process stuff and see stuff. You know what I mean? Like, not that we're Nostradamus. And this don't have nothing to do with predicting fights, by the way. This is more so speaking of the landscape.
The landscape, right.
Of how stuff play out. And you and I both said, well, look, it's a couple things going on, right? You got Crawford and Spence, right? They was the last pieces to that generation to the puzzle.
Right.
They're gone. You got Boots. Mm-hmm. You got Stanny Onis. You got Virgil Ortiz, who's already on record saying he's moving up to 154. So take him out of the equation. So now you got smaller guys who we all believe, you and I at least, will be welterweights, essentially. Devin Haney. Shakur Stevenson, Ryan Garcia,
Teofimo,
Gervonta, and I got a theory on him. I'm going to put him to the side for a second. But, you know, even you want to throw him in there. So you got all these young guys, I mean, smaller guys who are potentially going to move up. So then you got Boots, right? So Boots in the situation, his, you know, Bozy, his pop said, look, and I knew this conversation was getting ready to start getting more louder, you know, because it's kind of happened with guys like Paul Williams, where it's like our phone is, we're listening, you know, up. If up is where it got to be, then that's where it's going to be. And I started thinking about Boots. I'm like, damn, really, technically, all his potential big fights might be at 154 and not 147.
Right.
You feel me?
We've been saying that, though. Like, we've been saying that for a while, because I just think the landscape of 147 is that of, as Crawford likely relinquishes his belts, or so we think. I mean, I think he will.
Yeah, we believe he will. Yeah, he made comments. Yeah,
it kind of leaves the landscape of the division like, well, who's what? All right, what are the big fights at 147? Now, you made a good point about them dudes at 140 coming up, like the Teofimos and the Ryan, and all those guys.
Smaller guys. They'll
make the division glamorous again in their own way, you know? Haney and I mean, Shakur, I think eventually, but it's like, he just kind of got to light.
He just got there, so you gotta wait for him. But and they'll all be there at the same time.
At sooner some or later. Point, yeah.
But they're smaller, so it's like, it's a stall out tactic. You know, not that they're afraid of Boots, but they're smaller dudes. So
yeah,
they won't move up there until it's clear. Like the landing is clear. You know, it has to be a clear landing situation. So a bigger guy like Boots will move up. They look, because at the end of the day, and I always tell people this, like, this is prize fighting. So guys want to get paid. They're not going to sit around and just fighting for vacant belts just to say, oh, I want a title, especially if it's not leading anywhere.
Right.
So, all right, cool. You pick up these vacant titles. Now what? Where's the big fight?
Yeah.
Where's the, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
No, so then you look at 154 and it's like, all right, Tim Tszyu. What's my man name? The big guy. The big guy that just lost.
Fundora.
I'm just throwing names out there. Not that, you know, these are household names. You got Fundora. You got guys like Erickson Lubin. Obviously, you know,
Mendoza, all those guys, yeah.
You know, all those guys. Like, you got all these, you know, not the most attractive names, but they're better names than what's at 47.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you got Tim Tszyu there, who's going to be probably a multiple belt holder, right? He already got the WBO. I'm quite sure one of them other titles, because we'll get into that in a second about Jermell relinquishing them other titles, right? So, but before we get into that, because I know we're jumping over, but I gotta talk to you about this because I feel like something big is coming with Gervonta. What I mean by big, I think we're gonna get a catchweight fight, and it's two fights that people gonna think that I'm crazy, but when you think about it, it's not that unrealistic, right? So the first catchweight I'm going to throw out there to you, I think that, all right, put it like this. I think Gervonta fighting Crawford is not as crazy as people may think it is. Even though I think Crawford, we know who will win the fight, you know. Of course, then there might be some people out there that think otherwise, and that's fine. But you and I look at it like, you know, it's kind of a mismatch. But from a logistical business sense, because that's how you got to remember, you got to think with Floyd's mind, you know. So the way they're controlling Gervonta's career, I believe, is that he's like an attraction right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking at – he's almost just doing like blockbuster films, you know.
Yeah.
You know, no straight to DVD movies. It's all blockbuster, right? So, obviously, the other guy out there is Inoue, you know. So, who is crazy because you're talking about the contrast of weight from that direction to that direction, right? You know, so I think that they're looking at fights where what is the big – they just want to do blockbuster fights.
Yeah.
And I say that to say that normally, traditionally, when he's caught – where there's smoke – because I remember when the Pacquiao conversations first came about. You there, Roberto?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I remember years ago when they first started talking about Pacquiao moving up, you know, like, you know, would he move up to welterweight? And it was just like, kind of like, you know, but it's all about the right, it got to be the right situation. Now, the difference with this is that these are two very, well, anyway, is a little different because he's smaller, but, it's not Oscar De La Hoya on the way out the door.
Right.
You know, so
yeah.
If you're moving up to fight him, now here's where that just get a little tricky at, though. What weight are they fighting at? Because Bud ain't coming nowhere near. He's not going
to
concede. And of course, they will try to entice him. You know how it go. You know, try to. But Bud got, you know, I mean, obviously, the type of money they would try to offer him with that would be like, all right, let me think about it. But he already said, like, I'm not going beneath 47. So if it was to happen, hypothetically, it would have to be a welterweight at 147.
Yeah. And I don't think that ends well for him, to be honest with you, man. Like,
no, it doesn't.
Here's another name that is floating around there. You mentioned welterweights. Is Keith Thurman. You know, he's another guy. Again, this is all hypothetical.
Stay busy.
He seems like he just wants the biggest bang for the buck.
Right.
And what's a Boots fight to him? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Well, I don't know, man. Like, Tank
is
That's
I like the Thurman idea. Let me tell you real quick why I like the Thurman idea. We'll go back. Then we'll circle back to Javonte. I don't think Bud is taking, even though, and he, if you listen to when these fighters talk, you got to listen clearly. Everybody, like, oh, it was an easy fight. He's like, yeah, you know, I still had to take my body through this. I had to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
So when fighters talk like that, that means I'm going to take a break my next fight, and then I'll fight another big fight after that.
Yeah.
And rightfully so, like, mind preparing. Your mind needs a break, too. When you prepare for that type of action, even though it didn't play out the way it was supposed to play out, he said, man, I took my body through hell for that fight. Yeah, you know,
yeah,
so
yeah.
Not to disrespect to Keith Thurman, but it's like, you know, I'll take a Keith Thurman, to your point. Big name, decent money, and, you know, it'll get me right for the next, whatever my next situation going to be. I just got this feeling. I don't know who it's going to be. And again, I don't want nobody thinking that I'm saying that these fights going to happen. But I'm just telling y'all, don't be shocked if we hear something. Look, we got Jermell and Canelo. If you would have told me this last year, I would have been like, hell no. I'm not ruling anything off the table, is what I'm saying.
With Tank, I think it's, and we'll segue because, you know, they announced they're doing the, it's a two-city press tour with Canelo and Charlo. Yeah, they're going to really push this thing. I think Tank is, all right, so you look at Charlo's situation, and listen, I guess you could look at it two ways, because we talked about this before, whether or not this might have been in the plans all along, or if this was a desperation move because Maul didn't want the fight, or turned down the fight.
Right.
With Mel, let's just say this fight, I want to say this is going to be the biggest bag he's ever going to make against Canelo.
Absolutely. And right. They haven't mentioned the purse, but we're going to have to guess it's going to be somewhere up there.
I don't know if Tank yet. And here's the million-dollar question, too, man. Like, is he still with Floyd? Is he – like, who's really
– well,
you know, who's really running the ship, man? You know, people ask, like, what does it matter? Well, it does matter because it's all subjected to where we think his direction is going to be as far as who he's going to fight. And, you know – The crazy thing is, there's fights at lightweight. We're not naive. They're there, but it just seems like you have all these guys, right, that are in and around each other, talking, going back and forth. And Tank is just like,
that's outside what I'm saying. That
circle, being paraded around like, he's the man, he's the man, he's the man. So it's, you just wonder. Especially coming off of two Saturdays ago, where who were we saying he was going to fight in December? Very, very likely.
Right.
Pitbull, right? Does that fight look attractive now? Like, so.
And that's the point I'm trying to get at is like, if you're not taking these fights that everybody want, you know, and look, the lightweight is drying up, bro. Like, guys are leaving. I mean, you got Frank Martin, but do that seem like a fight they're in a rush to take?
It's three guys because Haney's moving up.
Yeah.
It's Frank Martin, Shakur, and what's left of Lomachenko at this point.
Yeah. That's still a wild card, but then it's like cross promotion, you know. Yeah, it's like, you know, it's tricky, you know, but that's why I'm saying, like, bro, like, all right, so let's go back to the Floyd part first and foremost. Let's touch on that because he said he dropped a bomb. He dropped many of bombs in that interview.
It was like one interview, but it was like a series of.
It was a whole. He had a lot to say in one. You know, although a lot of it was, you know, it kept going back to the same point, landing point. But he said that, and he said this before, but. Just reiterating it again, he said anybody that signed with Al Haymon is signed with him. So in translation, what he's telling everybody that he's an investor, right? And look, he's not the first guy that could be, you know, that is a silent partner in an organization. There's a bunch of those people out there. But he made it very clear that, you know, he has a lot to do with, you know, the dealings that go on over there. You know, so With that being said, Gervonta doesn't have a direct promotional deal with him, but they're basically still doing business together.
Right.
So if they're still doing business together, that means that Gervonta is trusting Floyd's opinion and his mind on his career. So when I hear Floyd talk like he's still a part of Gervonta's career, he's like, he brought up anyway. He didn't bring up, he never talked about Crawford, because I think Floyd kind of knows that that's more realistic than Crawford, right? The NOA situation. That's the one that could potentially happen within a year or two, that one there. That's more easier, and I know people can be like, well, he's only at 122. It's not as hard as people think, because he would gradually move up to 126, right? And then you start from there, you start talking about catch weights. And they always say how Gervonta can make 130, 135, so the catch weight would be at, like, what, 133 or something like that? You know, some crazy number like that. So crazy is that number sound. I know people going to say, well, anyway, small, and, you know, man, I've been following this sport a long time, and one thing that changes people's minds quicker than anything is money.
Yeah.
And anyway is a – he's – how can I put this? Where big as he is in Japan, he's bigger than Pacquiao over there. Because Japan got, what, 14 million people there? Like, it's the hugest place in the world, right? Like, outside, I don't know if New York got more, but Mumbia, I forget. But I know it's one of the largest places.
He's a superstar.
You know, that exists. Yeah. He's a mega, because I was talking to people from Fulton camp that was over there. They said, bro, it's like, it's crazy. You know, it's insane. They said that the first American superstar he fights, it's going to shatter any pay-per-view record. You got to think about it. I always tell people this about the continent of Asia. It's like one of our most populated continents, right? So when a fighter comes from particularly your Oriental countries, right? So, and forgive me if that's a politically incorrect word. I'm just trying to stay on on track geographically. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So you got all these different countries, like from China to Korea, obviously like the Philippines, you go to Southeast Asia where the Philippines, Thailand and all that. Those people all, when you have a star from that walk of the world, they all come together and galvanize, just like they did for Pacquiao. Mm-hmm. Pacquiao was from the Philippines, but the continent was behind him 1,000%. And I just think that, like, Floyd is looking at all that. Like, man, we could do something that
we
even
dollar signs, run them. Right.
Yeah. Look, if you got 1.2 with him and Ryan, it's like, that's easy. Like, those people will buy that fight, support it. Again, we're talking extreme hypotheticals here, but we're in it. We got a traffic jam of fighters that's all kind of like near. Put the heavyweights out the window. Obviously, the super middleweight. Well, then again, you know, but you look at all these smaller divisions from like 60 on down. It's a traffic jam, you know.
Mm-hmm. Moving, you just up, wonder moving how back.
Bob Arum, mini moon, you know, which was 2008, did the unthinkable, got with Oscar, because Oscar was on his own at that point.
Yeah.
Got with Oscar and it was like, let's do something wild. Let's do something different. And I know people like that never seen it, don't believe it could happen, because I seen it happen before. That's why I would never rule it out. And when Floyd starts talking about stuff, then it's the conversation has begun.
Yeah.
Just think about that, you know. I think Gervonta wants to fight Crawford because Spence was his man. You know, they had their little beef, you know, the whole PBC when he was with Top Rank. So his beef is like, I want to settle this, you know. And look, he's a fighter. He think he could beat anybody. So I don't knock him for thinking he could beat Crawford. You know, I don't think it would be a good idea, but I don't, you know, if that's what he thinks, then go for it. But I think Floyd is thinking more, this is more realistic. It's a more winnable fight and it's a more lucrative fight.
Right. So. And he has Floyd is never going to put Tank at a disadvantage.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
There you go. And I know he knows that the Crawford is just.
He knows.
That's all wrong.
That's right.
You know,
it's
all wrong.
So I guess in the immediate, I guess the question really becomes like, if he
does, it's a shame because you got these fights, but and it's like we're talking about.
Well, right. It's he's just the question mark because he's in a division that really has. I mean, let's say one premier fight that could be a premier fight with him and Shakur, but yeah. It's what's the trek to that, you know? And you know, yeah. Again, Floyd. And the interesting part is he's training with Shakur. You know, it's just,
no, I was going to say it's
so just very, very strange situation, man. But yeah. I don't know. Like, I guess with Tang, it's interesting. He's one of those fighters that, like, with other fighters, you kind of see again, like we talked about, like you see, all right, like he's going to fight that guy, and with Tang, it's like. All right, who are you going to fight? And then like, oh, really? Oh, really? Oh, there's never like, it's always a guess, you know? And the argument comes down to, and look, we still come from the creed of, you know, if you want to be considered the dude, you got to like fight the world champion and beat the world champion. But it doesn't seem to be like that for Tank, like where that's kind of just a moot point.
I think this is the way I think they're looking at it, right? Because I'm trying to look at it through Floyd lenses, to your point, the way I think he's seeing it. He's probably like, we know those fights are there, and we're going to kind of put them on a back burner. We're going to cash out on all these opportunities and then circle back. Because just think about something. Remember, we always talk about this, right? Those guys, by the time those fights probably materialize, they'll probably all be done for each other. Look what Devin is going through right now. Regis Progress, right? Had to fight Lomachenko. Wars. You know where I'm going at with this, you know, so. All right, we'll take the Devin fight. You know, we'll take it. We'll take that now.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
The Dev done been through some. He done been touched up and been through some stuff. You know, so now we'll take the fight after we done cashed out, made a gazillions of dollars with all these crazy catchweight fights or whatever. Yeah. I just think Floyd is always looking. They're based. Look, Leonard Ellerbe has came on record. Look at the Ryan Garcia fight. That was really a show. Like. Listen, and we said it from the rip, like, Ryan Garcia don't belong in the same ring. And it's not no disrespect, but when that fight happened, he was nowhere near ready to share a ring with Gervonta. But it was a show, you know, and the people love a show. And I think that was like a gift and a curse. And I said it then. I said, this fight is successful. The bad part about it is you might not see him in a...
In like one of those, like the fights...
One of these kind of fights. For a little minute, you know, not saying it won't happen, but it's, you know, look, we've seen this movie play out before, you know?
Yep.
You know, we've seen it with guys, they get to this level. Look, Floyd, you know, part of his career, the latter part, you know, was able to strategically move pieces, you know? So, you know, it happens, you know, and I just think with Gervonta, it just happened a lot earlier because, you know, it's just the boxing, the landscape is different.
Right.
You know, it's all about marketing, your social media mentions. You know, Ryan Garcia basically social media his way into a blockbuster fight. You know, when other guys had to, you know.
Work their way into it.
Work their way to the line. He got right to the front of the line. Jumped in front of everybody.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just, it's unfortunate. Because, like you said, we should be talking about not woulda, coulda, shouldas. Like, this is real simple for me. Gervonta and Devin were supposed to fight each other at 135.
Yeah.
You know, that should have been the fight. You know, we should be talking about that fight right now. That should have been
happening in the bye-bye fight.
Yeah, this is, but look, props to Devin. You know, they taking on a tough, you know, we talked about 140 when we came on. He's with Matchroom, not with PBC, though, Regis Progress. And I'm happy for Regis. You know, he's getting we didn't think he would get no big fights like that. He's got one right off the rip, you know. So he getting a good fight with Devin. You know, it's on pay-per-view. I don't know about that. But, you know, I think, you know, they'll make decent money. You know, we'll see. We'll go from there.
Yeah, man. I mean, they're still out. Yeah, because, you know, he put out the tweet, you know, that
Well, it was about the, I think, I mean, technically what Devin is saying is right. You don't want the fight being on the same day as Fury. Like, you want all the, especially on paper when you're asking people to buy something.
Right.
They'll get it worked out. I'm confident. Look, I understand Reed decided to. Look, they signed the contract and he thought that was for the date. And, you know, these guys are very, they're sticklers about dates. Deadlines, their body, superstition, some of that stuff. So, but I think he'll be all right once they tell him, like, look, man, you know, this is a great situation. Let's not walk away from it. Because let's be honest, who else are you going to fight
right
with this type of name recognition? You know, unless he's going to fight somebody like Tio, you know, which I don't think is going to happen. But Tio's another guy. Like, I don't want to leave him out. Like, I think that's another big fight.
Yeah, it is.
That you can't rule out, you know?
Oh, for sure. I mean, yeah, just
the
promo for that would be, you know, off the charts, you know, so you got it, Matt. You got to think.
It's just sad that we didn't get, I don't think we're going to get the answers that we was looking for. Like, who's the best out of all those guys in, for a few years?
I agree. You know, they're like, all we've always said, like, at welterweight is like, they're all going to fight.
We kept saying it. Like, this is what, if you really look, I remember, although they were all fighting good competition, but you look at guys like Shane Mosley, Zab Judah, Mayweather, they was all kind of each other way, right? Shane was a little older than those guys, so he was kind of getting more opportunities than the rest of those guys. But they all was like kind of – remember Shane was supposed to fight Zab. But then, you know, that was – something happened in the shower, I think. It was some crazy, you know. Pre-fight injury, and, you know, it didn't ever materialize. But Floyd did fight Shane later. And look, you saw what happened in that fight. Why? And this is why people always wanted those fights to happen. You know, you saw like what took place in, you know, midway through the fight, and Floyd worked his way out of it. Look, the Zab fight fought the first, you know, probably the greatest three rounds of his life. But, you know, this is why like you be wanting to see these fights take place before guys, you know, before things happen. You know, but some of them fights don't be the same as they may have could have been before things, you know, materialize, you know. So, you know,
you know, before we wrap up, the one fight that I completely lost sight of that's happening this weekend is Anthony Joshua, who was supposed to fight Dillian White. He gets busted for PEDs. In steps in Robert Hellanius, who
How many times has he been busted though for PEDs, Dillian White?
Well, I know Big Baby got caught.
Yeah.
He got, I don't know. Like, is this number two?
Okay. Yeah, I think this is the second time.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow, man. I mean,
this is,
and in steps
in. What's going
in,
on over in the UK?
Oh, yo.
Right. I mean, seriously.
No, that's,
I mean, I know what happens everywhere, but, you know.
Derek Chisora is on this card. He's fighting Gerald Washington. Joshua, he's, I mean, yeah, this is his first fight since the Usyk fight, the second Usyk fight. He's training with Derrick James. So Robert Hellanius fought a couple, like last week, right? Something like that.
So did he get disqualified? Like, I'm still trying to understand. Like, how did he fight 2 weeks ago when he's fighting?
Did he, like, not get hit or something? I don't know. I didn't
see
the fight.
Something must have happened. Something we missing that happened. Maybe it was it ended quick, you know. Well, I gotta look into that.
So this is August. All right, so, you know, all right. And let's just say Anthony Joshua gets past this, right?
Okay.
Are we gonna get this December Wilder Joshua fight? Because listen, all I've heard was Wilder and Ruiz, and then Wilder and Joshua had this guaranteed fight. But yo, I gotta say something. You know, we've had, like, the 2023 has been a crazy. The one division that has been crickets has been the heavyweight division. Like,
yeah, it's been flat, bro. I'm going to be honest, I forgot about it. Like, it's been oblivious.
Yeah, it's nuts. And
it had a spark. It came back strong. Like, the last 2 years, it's been great. Well, the last, really, since the first Wilder and Fury encounter.
Yeah,
so that
you
was
saw things both happening. You're like, oh, okay.
Man, the Insta came, and then, you know, Joshua, whatever. But it's a weird division, bro. It's just, it's weird. Like, And I know they got this kid, Jared Anderson, you know, you just talked about him. He's so small. Like, I seen him in person twice. And at the Boots fight, and I seen him out Vegas when I was out there. He was actually, like, kind of like in the area where I was at. And I'm like, this is, like, these new wave heavyweights, like, he just looked like a middle, like a super middleweight.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I don't know, bro. It's,
so it's kind of a question mark, man. I don't know. I don't know where this is. Where, because look, Tyson Fury fighting this dude Ngannou, and it's a circus fight. But it, you know, I leave that the door open for him to say, you know, have a nice day. You know, like, I've had a career. Yeah. I don't need to prove anything.
Right. I know.
So
no, you're right.
Then it's Usyk who's fighting Daniel Dubois, who just lost. Yeah. It's where's Frank Sanchez?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I know.
So I don't know. I know.
It's just
weird division. But yo, before we wrap up, too, some news: David Benavidez, Bubu Andrade, finalizing their fight for the fall.
Oh, yes,
yeah.
That's look like it's done. That
listen,
like it's
man,
done. Yeah.
You can't, you know, for David Benavidez, right?
Yeah.
He would have fought Caleb Plant. And Boo Boo yes. Andrade.
Yes.
Like, he's, like, what do we say,
back to
man?
Back to back.
Back to back. Create your business.
Yeah.
Create your matchups.
Yeah, you always
make
say
a
that,
reason,
bro. You say,
right? And
you say that, yeah.
Where it's undeniable. And he's doing the right. He's doing.
Build your own legacy.
Everything will play itself out.
Everything will play itself out.
Right. Where it becomes undeniable. And I think, again, like. Canelo, you know, they're doing the press conference. I think this.
You told me two things, Dorf. New York and
New York,
LA, I'm assuming.
So, look, yeah. I said this about this deal that Canelo has with the PBC. You know, Errol Spence was being mentioned as far as, like, this third option.
Scratch that,
right?
Yeah, right.
It's undeniable that unless September 30th turns into, like, a, hey, yo.
Like, we need to see that again.
I think David Benavidez ultimately is that guy that could potentially be at the end of the line, you know, which by then could be like, you know, no pun.
Who you think
a monster
the second fight would? Who you think the second fight would be?
I mean,
I still think
you know, the everybody see. Oh man, I don't know because. All right, so if Benavidez fights Boo Boo. Then it's like you're asking yourself, like, all right, well, how would Maul get in this situation? You know, how would he get involved in here? You know, does he get involved?
You think he's coming back?
You think he's coming back?
It's such a I'll say this, man. Like, I think for the sake of him being out, like, literally now over 2 years, he should be.
Gotta be three.
He should no. Yeah. I think it's gonna be it's two technically.
Oh, it's gonna be two.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
He should be stripped of the title. Like, he should be stripped of the WBC title, man. Like, come on. It's
that's
ridiculous.
His brother got stripped.
Yeah, man. But yeah, like I think there should be a point, like, across the board, man. Like, if you don't compete for, like, a period of time, whatever, you want to be champion in recess, and then when you come back, you can fight for the contention of the title. I'd even be okay with that, you know? But they gotta let these other guys, you know. That's why I said with Devin Haney, like, I get what he's doing. It's you know, you're playing the power move, like, kind of saying,
yeah.
Don't relinquish my belt. I'm going up, you know.
Yeah.
But ultimately, his body's going to tell him he ain't going back down. So,
and like people got to understand this too, right? And when I was talking to Mr. RLD, it's my, like you said, it's
mind
games because
yeah, I get it.
You're playing spoiler to your rivals too. Don't you know?
Right.
That's part. Like, I'm. Y'all not going to take what I worked hard for on some relinquished stuff. So I'm going to play the waiting game. I'm going to wait.
Right.
Although, just like Jermell, I don't believe he's coming back to 154. I don't.
I have a tough time believing that.
I
have a tough time
believing
that. You know, I don't, like, again, who's advising these guys, like, to go all the way up and come up. I know Kell Brook went up to fight Triple G. And he came back to fight Spence. That's the most recent one. And that did not go well for him. You know
early
what I mean?
On it did, but then ultimately it was just.
Maybe that's a different fight with him and Spence if he never move up. And I hate doing a hindsight 2020 thing, but he took such a physical beating in that fight. He was doing well in that fight, but he was getting broken down. So
yeah.
Then you got to shed. So you go up to 160. So you got to shed. what's that? 13 pounds, which is, it's funny. It's just literally one pound different from what Jermell got to do. It takes its toll. And look, Kel was a lot younger than what
Mel is,
you know, so I just don't see, unless, like, I don't know, bro. I don't see it. I just don't see it, how it happens. And I feel bad for Crawford because he, like, kind of getting done dirty out of there.
Like,
in a perfect world, man, he would be like a hero. Like, if just think about it. If Mel wasn't fighting Canelo, Crawford would be we would be right back here again.
Yeah,
talking about the big fight that's taking place whenever it's taking place. But now, like man, like we was talking in our chat. What if Mel wins? Like yeah. You can't not rule that out. Like,
yeah.
What if he wins?
Yeah.
Now that changes everything.
I just have a tough time seeing him come back down to 154.
Yeah. I just don't think no matter what happens.
At least God forbid 160 he'll go and that's it. Yeah.
It's only one scenario, Crawford. It's really one scenario he can hope for. That Mel fights this so competitive fight, he don't win. But he's like, all right, what the hell? I'm gonna just go get this payday from Crawford and move on my merry way. But if God forbid if Mel gets knocked out, you can forget about it. Or if it's here's the other thing about a close fight. Could be a rematch.
Because
remember, you got this second fight that don't.
And he'll make more money fighting Canelo
again. He'll get the right money that people be like, oh, you know how the story goes. Oh, give him a full training camp. That's why I'm saying, like, well, you said it. We really can't talk about Bud until after.
Right, yo. And Bud kind of, he didn't say it directly. But
he kind of said it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
He can't be too happy about that, though. Like, because we say Tim Tszyu, like, it's easy for us to say it, but he don't really want
to. He don't
want to
get up for that.
He don't want that. Like, you coming from getting up for Spence. And there's no disrespect to Tim Tszyu, but it's like, what has he done to, like, really earn a spot? You know what I mean? So he, like, if I knock this guy out.
Man. That's kind of the thing, man.
Yeah. They would have to pay him a lot of money for that Tim Tszyu fight.
Yeah.
Like, to make it worth his while. But, yeah. All right, bro.
So, that's pretty much it, man. Follow us on the gram. You already know.
Yep.
So we'll be back next week covering this fight. And then, what's going on? The press conference will, you know.
It'll be here before you know it.
Yeah. We'll see if Canelo comes out with the,
I think this is going to get spicy.
I think so too.
But, you know, the good thing about them is that they only know one way, you know, so this is going to help sell the fight. And look, this is one of the reasons why they picked them. They know they going to be turned up and talking, you know.
Yeah, well, especially Canelo now where he throwing the F-bombs and everything. Like, man. So, we'll be back next week.
We'll be back. Yep. Thanks, everybody. We see y'all. Peace.